This is the Amateur Fanboy Podcast with your hosts, Chase Aguirre and Mike Artaza.
What's going on, guys? So, today is Thursday.
Well, July we don't know 25th. What date is because this will be posted when we get to
Well, we're posting it on. We're recording this on Thursday, July 25th. We're probably going to post it a different day, but
not that you need to know.
We're giving. Well, we're giving them the reason. If some reason an injury happens in 2 days, they know why we didn't talk.
But anyways, we're going to go through the NFC. Nope, the AFC North.
AFC North.
And if you haven't checked it out, we've gone through every division at this point. So if you want to check it out, who we think wins, how do we think it plays out, how we think those players will do in fantasy, check it out. So this division last year, the Ravens took it at 10-6. Steelers were 9-6-1. The Browns are 7-8-1. Bengals were 8-10. Oh, sorry, 6-10. That would be weird, 8-10. But yeah. 6-10. So interesting, interesting division, we would say the least. A lot of it has changed, I would say.
That division was very mediocre last year.
The big, receiver, the best receiver left, and they come out and bring another great receiver in Odell. So this division continues to have, you know, talented players. I guess we'll start with, you know, the Browns. They probably have the biggest hype to winning this division without them playing a game. You know, of course they have Baker Mayfield, the first overall pick from last season. It's going to be interesting to see how he performs this season with all the weapons that he has. I know you love Baker. What do you expect from him?
I expect him to honestly probably be an MVP candidate this year. I think after Patrick Mahomes, I think
Andrew Luck.
I think you'll get Andrew Luck in there. You'll get Philip Rivers in the mix there probably. Maybe Jared Goff. Maybe Carson Wentz. Jimmy Garoppolo can be comeback player of the year.
Sure.
That's where I'm going to start with him.
Okay.
We'll see how he does. I'm not hating on your Niners. But I do think he's in the top five of MVP candidates right up there. I think, you know, if things go well, he could end up being considered as one of the top five quarterbacks in the league after it's all said and done this year. So I think this is a big year for him. And having Odell, having Jarvis Landry, then you got Njoku, and you still got Nick Chubb and Duke Johnson there. I think he's got a lot of weapons to work with.
And don't forget who else they have at running back.
Yeah, I know.
Kareem Hunt.
I know. I just don't think Kareem Hunt will do more than be the change of pace back to Nick Chubb when it's all said and done until he shows signs of what he was in the past. But I think at some point they are going to try and move Duke Johnson to where Kareem Hunt can end up being that backup running back and be that guy that basically complements Nick Chubb. Because I don't think you can have... And I know you probably can, but you probably shouldn't have Kareem Hunt, Nick Chubb, and Duke Johnson all trying to get spots on the back.
No, I'm not too worried about Duke Johnson if they do keep him because, you know, he's a great catcher, you know, receiver in the back end, basically. So you can put him over the field. Now he's kind of disgruntled, so you probably want to move him.
I think they should.
This team is talented. Now, my only concern is at the left tackle position with Greg Robinson. He did play pretty decent last year. I want to continue to see that. And then they do have some younger guys behind him. So that offensive line can be a little bit of a scare. They do have Austin Corbett's actually starting this year because they moved, I forgot his name. He went to the Giants, the guard there. So he was their second round pick last year, Austin Corbett. So I just want to see this offensive line kind of gel together with, you know, Odell's the big star there, so he's got to stay healthy.
I agree 100%, and I think they added, if I'm not mistaken, they added another offensive lineman for depth. Brian, I can't even pronounce his fucking last name off the top of my head right now.
Witzman?
Brian, no, it starts with an F, bro. It's right there next to the left tackle.
Okay.
I know they added...
He's a rookie.
Well, that's what I'm saying, he's a rookie. They drafted him. So I think they tried to get some depth in there, and we'll see, you know, if they're able to continue their ways as far as how that offensive line was going last year. And I think they did well last year, and I think if they take that step forward, that's what's going to allow Baker Mayfield to be MVP.
Yeah, with Tom Monkins, who's coming from Tampa Bay, who's offensive coordinator there, and he'll be the offensive coordinator here. So kind of still keeping with the Freddie Kitchen as head coach. It'll be interesting to see how this dynamic works.
It's hopefully there's not too many cooks in the kitchens.
There anyways, you go.
Sorry, bad joke. Continue.
This defense is very talented. I mean, Myles Garrett's the big star here. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how he performs at the at this point. He needs to be a defensive player candidate, basically.
That defensive line has the potential to be probably absolutely insane. They got Myles Garrett. They got Sheldon Richardson. I know Olivier Vernon hasn't been the same since his Miami days, but if you can get even maybe three quarters of what he was with the Giants or with the Dolphins before mm-hmm. he signed his big deal. And then you got Brian Price, who you drafted or signed, I think.
Well, and then Chad Thomas last season was a third-round pick. They have talent there. I'm interested to see who the other DN ends up being on this team because Vernon's a defensive tackle. So
the only position I will say that kind of scares me a little bit is their linebacking core. I think Christian Kirksey is dope. I don't know about their other linebacker. I think Mack Wilson could end up maybe making a name for himself by the end of this year. And if not, we'll see how they're able to do that. But and then they got, obviously, Greedy Williams they drafted this year.
And they still have Denzel Ward. And then they still
got Denzel Ward. So I think their cornerbacks are set. And then they got Demaryius Randall from the Packers as their safeties and Morgan Burnett. So I do like their defense a lot. I think it's definitely top six, top eight.
I'll say top 10.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Anywhere from 5 to 10, it's going to depend on how they're able to, execute. And we'll have to wait and see.
Especially since they have Wilkes as their defensive coordinator. And to be honest with you, he's only been a full-time. Yeah, but before that, he was their head coach. But before that, he was with the Panthers. He was their defensive coordinator for one season. So he could be a complete dud, really. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how that plays out. Moving to the Steelers. And they had a huge disappointment last season. They should have won the division. Things didn't go their way. They traded Antonio Brown to the Raiders. Juju basically steps up as their number one receiver at this point. Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting how this continues to produce, especially since, he'll be their number one target. Ben Roethlisberger, he's getting old out there now. We'll see how he continues to perform. He didn't really show too much of a downfall last season, so
I think there's two guys on that receiving core that I think are going to need to step up to add, in the midst of Antonio Brown getting traded. I think Dante Moncrief's going to have to step up.
He's trash.
And but he's going to have to he's going to probably be on the starting roster.
I think James Washington starts over him.
You think?
Yeah, James Washington should start over him.
I guess we'll have to wait and see.
And then Dante Johnson, kind of similar to, I'm not saying he's Antonio Brown, but he has similar skill sets at that point.
The other guy I was going to talk about is Ryan Switzer. I think Ryan Switzer, he had flashes in Dallas before they traded him. I know he's more of like a Cole Beasley type. He's more of a slot receiver.
Yeah, he'll play
slot there. But I think he can take a lot of the load off and allow them to throw the deep ball more without Antonio Brown there, if he's able to produce.
Yeah, if he's able to get over Eli Rogers, who has performed there.
I think he's better than Eli Rogers, if we're being 100% honest. I think Ryan Switzer's the truth. I think he's legit.
And then, really, Vance McDonald, to me, is what you're saying. I think it applies more to him. He has continued to be more reliable. Last season, he had a great season. Now, he's probably going to get a little more targets since, AB's gone. So he's a great value.
He's a great tight end.
He's a good tight end. Yeah.
But I think.
And we're not even talking about James Conner yet.
I know. I'm scared of that. I'm scared of the Steelers running backs this year.
I'm not necessarily. I think James Conner. Look, he has a great offensive line. He's going to produce regardless.
I just listen to why I say what I say. And you're entitled to think how you want to think. I'm here to obviously disagree with you. And
okay,
you're
go here for
to
it.
Disagree with me.
Get to it.
But Antonio Brown not being in that offense takes a lot of dynamic away from that receiving core. And I got to see someone other than Juju step up. If you don't have someone other than Juju stepping up, you're going to double team Juju and you're going to load the box. Make someone else beat you. And that's where I'm concerned at how this offense is going to function. And that's why I think guys like Switzer, guys like Moncrief, guys like Washington are going to have to step up. And if they can't step up, then this offense is not going to be as good. And that's where I'm scared to take a James Conner, if we're talking about fantasy, but also just in general as far as his production.
Yeah, if you look the last game of the season, Jalen Samuels got a lot of the pass, passes coming up from the backfield.
That too.
That's my only concern. Outside of that, but that's only one game, and James Conner was coming off an injury, so I don't necessarily too worried about it. I personally think James Conner will be a value.
I'm not saying every player has value, but there's people that are going to take James Conner as their number one running back.
When we're talking about fantasy, sure, yeah.
I understand that, but that's where I'm... If we're talking about fantasy, that's where I'm scared as far as taking him as my number
I really
one
think...
Back.
Do I think he gets similar production from last year? I probably... You know, that or a little bit less. I think this...
a lot less.
I think... Well, I mean, I don't see that. This offensive line is too good for them to not be, you know, a great running team as they were. It's not like they don't have any talent. They have Vance McDonald. They have Juju. James Washington's talented. He just needs to be able to produce. Johnson. It's not that they don't have potential. They lose AB and have Juju on the other side. Sure, I just don't necessarily feel like they are being, I don't know, extremely undervalued, this team. This offense, I don't necessarily think is going to be terrible.
I never said they're going to be terrible. I just don't know that they're going to be
top five
good enough to win that division. I think the Browns offense right now is constituted as better. If Lamar Jackson show any sign of decency as a quarterback, that Ravens offense is better.
Oh, I don't. I disagree hardly.
I think you're crazy. Mark Ingram.
Okay.
They got way better in the running game, which is huge for that team, and that's gonna open up the rest of their receivers. And they do have. I obviously would need to see their depth chart right now to remember any off the top of my head. Because
who?
The Ravens receivers.
They have Hollywood Brown.
There you go.
That's a rookie. He's on the pub right now.
Willie Snead, Chris Moore's legit.
It's Willie Snead and Marquise Brown. They're outside of that. There's not much talent.
But I gotta see the Steelers actually go out there and be good without Antonio. I think losing Antonio Brown could be crippling to this offense. And until I see them be successful without Antonio Brown, I'm not going to to believe they're going to be successful without him.
They played week 17 without him.
That's 1 week, Mike. Come on, man.
I'm just saying. It's not like this team is. It doesn't have any talent.
They don't have talent. Big Ben's not young, dude.
Sure.
They don't have a young quarterback. That's where it concerns me. If that offensive line for some reason takes a step back for whatever reason, Big Ben's gonna get sacked a lot, and he's gonna be tossed.
I'm not too worried about that. They have one of the better offensive lines in the league.
I'm just gonna be hesitant to take anyone other than Juju and maybe Connor at the right value in this offense. I don't know that I would even take Ben as a quarterback, maybe not a starting quarterback, but as more than a backup.
So
I just need to see more.
Oh, we didn't talk about it, but the Browns are at 9 games, the win over unders. I'll take the over.
Take the over.
The Steelers are
9 as well.
I probably have them around there, so I guess I'll take the over.
I'll take the under on that
one. I have them at 9.
I have them at probably 7 to 8 wins.
And then moving to the Ravens, when we're talking about this team to me could be one of the worst teams in the league or one of the best teams in the league because of Lamar Jackson. We don't know what he's going to produce. There's game tape on him. You could see teams kind of exposed him in the playoffs, at least the last game that he played. So We'll see how he produces. He really needs to take the next step in being a passing quarterback who can run. Mm-hmm. And that's the big thing. And I don't necessarily think they're going to show that. And to me, if Lamar Jackson gets injured and RG3 goes in there, they might be better off. I think RG3 is a better thrower than Lamar Jackson is. So we'll see how this goes. What we know based off of last year, Willie Snead did perform when Lamar Jackson was on the field, but somebody who had like John Brown, who was the receiver there before he left, his production completely fell off. That's why I'm a little bit hesitant with Marquise Brown. He has a lot of talent, but I feel like he went to a situation that, and I know you probably want to put speed around Lamar Jackson, but I'm not sure if Marquise Brown will actually produce where you want him to.
You know, I was upset when they originally drafted him, too, because I was like, dude, you got Lamar Jackson, who still needs to learn how to really throw the ball, and that's tough. But you want to also get him the most talent. So I've kind of came around to it since then, and I think he can be successful. But what you got to do is be able to, you know, your play actions, your jet sweeps, I think, are where he can find his use. Going down the field and being a deep ball threat. You know, coming out of the backfield, being a running threat. I think, you know, they can use him in multiple ways, kind of like a gadget guy. And I think that's where he'll start to be successful before they fully incorporate him into the offense.
The good thing is they go out and get Mark Ingram, who's, you know, a little bit older, but not exactly too old, you know, what is he, 29? Mm-hmm. But the good thing is he doesn't have the miles on him because he's always kind of been in a two-back system since he's been drafted there. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be interesting to see how the Ravens use him, if they use Gus Edwards or Dixon. And they also did draft Justice Hill, so they have talent at the running back spot. They're going to be a running team at foremost.
Oh, 100%. I'd agree with that.
So,
why I have them ahead of the Steelers as far as potential-wise is because of their run game. I think with Mark Ingram, Gus Edwards, we saw last year, was able to be great at multiple things. And I think Kenneth Dixon, even as a third back, could, you know, take the stress out. They have a three-headed monster when you really think about it. And I think that's what's going to be able to separate them.
Well, four if you add Lamar.
Yeah.
I mean, Lamar Jackson might be the best runner here, but
I think you're going to have to respect their run game. And that's where, if Jackson can at all become a decent thrower, is where the Ravens can be dangerous.
Now, do I expect him to do that? No, I don't expect him to get any better than what we've seen. Do I expect him to?
Probably not right away, but I mean, he has to. This is, if he can't do it, then he can't be a starter.
And that's why he shouldn't be drafted in the first round. But look, he played good last year until the last final game. I'm interested to see if that continues, how the defenses attack him. If they know he can't throw the ball, I mean, they can stop the run fairly easily.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, at this new age throwing offense, I'm surprised how the Ravens went around building this team with a quarterback who potentially can't throw the ball. So we'll see how that plays out. He can throw the ball anywhere on the field. He's just not very accurate. That's a big concern.
I think he can be a really good quarterback, but
if he can somehow figure out throwing the ball accurately, he can be scary.
He showed it. He can do it at Louisville. He's got to do it at the NFL level. He's just got to trust himself. It's not that he doesn't have an arm to throw the ball down the field. It's that he doesn't trust it. Until he trusts it, that's gonna be there. That's gonna be where the Ravens are not gonna be able to be successful.
And they are at 8 win total.
I probably have them at even.
Yeah, I have them even or under about that.
I'd say 7 to 8 wins.
So, to me, here comes the worst team in the division. Mm-hmm. Maybe it could be one of the worst teams next year. It's not necessarily the talent. I just don't believe this team is going to be prepared with Zach Taylor as their head coach. I just find it a little odd that they go out and, you know, for a team that's very old-fashioned, how they run things, they go out and they get their head coach who's kind of a quarterback coach. He's been nothing more than that. And he was only a quarterback coach for one season. I believe he was like a quality control guy on offense before that. Something like that. Or maybe the receivers coach. I'm not exactly sure. But he's only been the quarterback coach for one season. He's only been the NFL coaching for a few seasons. And he was a offense coordinator in college. No, he was the quarterback coach last year.
Quarterback coach, right.
So it's kind of weird that they go out and do that. But who knows? This new age thing of signing good looking, he's not that good looking, but young coaches on the offensive line or somebody around.
You're Sean McVay.
Yeah. So, you know, he comes in. We'll see how he produces. They have Andy Dalton still as their quarterback. They did draft Ryan Finley, who I can see being the starter at some point this season. I'm actually really high on Ryan Finley, and getting him in the fourth is quite a steal.
Now, if we're talking about running backs in this division, I think the best running back in this division, other than Nick Chubb, is probably Joe Mixon. I think Joe Mixon.
Yeah, I think him and Nick Chubb are fairly similar.
I think they have the potential to be 1 and 1A as far as fantasy running backs. I'm not saying
James. Not that we're talking about fantasy right now.
I understand, but I like to bring that up now while it's in my head before I forget. I think he has potential to be insane, and that's why I think this Bengals team can maybe win a little bit more than people think, but I still don't think they're going to be there.
No, and especially, you know, their first round pick is gone. He's out for the season. The big concern was offensive line. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a little bit concerned to see how they continue to play. Their guard position is going to be pretty terrible, so we'll see how this works out. They still have AJ Green, who I think is being undervalued at this point in general. He's just to me a good to great receiver. He's getting a little older, but he could still perform if he's healthy. And then they just re-signed Tyler Boyd, who performed fairly well as a good receiver last year as a number two. We'll see how this kind of plays out. You know, what we know is at the tight end position, Tyler Eifert at some point going to get injured. And CJ Uzomah is probably going to be the main tight end at this point. And they did draft a blocking tight end in the second round, and Drew Sample. I don't know what the Bengals are doing, to be honest with you.
I really don't either, man.
But, you know, they still have some good pieces on defense. Carlos Danlop, they have Geno Atkinson. You know, they have good pieces. Drake Kirkpatrick, William Jackson III is probably one of the better corners in the league that no one really talks about. So, I mean, they got a lot of good pieces on defense. They just need to come together. I just don't see this team winning more than maybe six games. You know, it's really going to fall on, is Andy Dalton your starter? Mm-hmm. And how long is he your starter? You're probably looking at quarterback next season. Now, can Zach Taylor somehow be magic and turn him into Goff? No, because he's not that quarterback. But who knows? He might.
Now I will say, I want to see if they're able to maybe make Ryan Finley into something.
Yeah, I think Ryan Finley could be a potential starter. That's where I think
this team is going to have a potential to maybe
surprise. I think he starts the season, too.
If he's able to get on the field early enough. If they struggle in the first 3 weeks and they throw him in there and see what they got, then maybe they can make a playoff run somehow if he's able to, you know, you don't have tape on him. So maybe he's able to be successful. You got AJ Green. You got Tyler Boyd. You got, like you said,
weapons.
They got weapons.
They have Joe Mixon.
Mixon, they still got weapons.
Geo, Bernard.
They just need a better quarterback other than Andy Dalton to be successful. And that's where I think this team is going to struggle, is because of the quarterback position.
I'm
going to
assume that he's the starter at some point this season.
I would agree, 100%.
And you know, they'll give him a good rest of the season to see what he is, and maybe they might go into next year's draft. And if they get one of these three quarterbacks coming out next year, they could be potentially pretty good fairly fast. It's not a bad team. They're just kind of stuck with an average quarterback.
I'll put it to you this way. If they had Big Ben as their quarterback, they might be a playoff team. If they had Baker Mayfield as their quarterback, they might be the best team in this division.
Okay, Andy Dalton or Lamar Jackson?
Lamar Jackson.
Sadly, yeah.
Sadly.
Not that you want him. Well, sorry. Look,
only because he's younger.
Yeah.
And he can
run. Well, he's cheaper. You can cut his ass.
That too.
Yeah, he can kind of get the first down. But the Bengals' win total are at... Where are
six.
Six. Six. It's probably where I have them.
Under.
Yeah, probably.
I say anywhere from 4 to 5 wins.
Who wins this division?
Browns.
I want to see it happen before I'll say the Browns win. I think it'll be the Steelers.
Man, you're...
And I like the Browns.
You don't want to take a chance at all. I just want to see them all gel together. I think the Browns only got better.
Of course, Odell's one of the better receivers in the league.
I'll put it this way. If the Steelers had Antonio Brown still, I would probably take the Steelers. But losing Antonio Brown, I think, is going to be too much for the Steelers to overcome.
Now, I'll say the Browns do have the best receiver in the division.
The best two receivers. Honestly, I would arguably say the best two receivers.
I don't know. I put Juju over Jarvis. Jarvis is still a slot receiver.
I got to see.
And he had
I want to see Juju be successful without Antonio Brown before I declare.
Landry has a 50% drop rate last year. Did you know that?
To me, it doesn't matter. I think Jarvis Landry is a better receiver. Until I see Juju be something without Antonio Brown, I don't think he's better than Jarvis Landry.
Why is that? Why do you think that he needs to...
And I'm not talking fantasy-wise. I'm just talking just overall talent. I just think Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham are just too damn talented, man. That's the best 1-2, probably the best 1-2 wide receiver punch in all the NFL. I don't know. I'm wrong.
I think I might take... If they had a different quarterback, I think I might take... Look, and this is not to do... If we're putting individual players, yeah, Odell's better than any of these players. Of course. But... Tyler Boyd
argued with me earlier that Odell was a better route runner and a better overall player than Amari Cooper. So don't now tell me that.
No. I'm saying I think AJ Green and Tyler Boyd can run. I'm not saying they're better, but they can give a run for their money. Because that's a good 1-2 punch.
And that's a take.
They're a pretty good 1-2 punch.
I don't think Tyler Boyd and...
Oh, I'll say Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley are better.
Wow. All right. I guess we're throwing out takes out there.
Because and it's not Odell, it's Landry. I think he's an overpaid slot receiver who can make flashy catches half the time.
Man, all right. I disagree, but okay.
If you want to say three, because I do like Antonio Callaway.
I still think Jarvis Landry, if Odell wasn't on the team, could be the best receiver on that team. I think Jarvis Landry is insanely talented. I think he's insanely talented. I don't understand
two why, different positions because look the receiver position's three different positions at this point. Who would you take, Amari or Landry?
I mean Amari because he's the number one.
Yeah,
but that's not to say
because Landry's not number one on any team. He's always gonna be the slot, which is
well, he was number the Dolphins. He was the number one receiver.
Okay, Edelman or Landry? Because I'll take Edelman if he's healthy.
If he's healthy.
Yeah, and the same thing with Landry. Landry is his injury.
If he's healthy, but I know you're high on Edelman, and I get that. But I need to see Edelman stay on the field for a full 16 games before I trust him.
I mean, you
could
talk about Landry. Landry has never been healthy in the full season.
I would probably still take Landry.
And he's younger, sure. And he's probably the one thing he does get paid more. But it'll be interesting because, look, I think the Browns can make the playoffs. I just want to see it happen.
And that's fair. That's fine.
And I think a lot has more to do not with the players, but with Freddie Kitchens. It's kind of a gamble when you're going from a running backs coach mid-season to offensive coordinator to now a head coach. So we'll see how this performs. Look, they had no choice to do it. You couldn't go sign Greg Williams, your head coach, because you end up losing Freddie if he ends up being the real deal.
Right.
So my only thing is it's a lot of personalities to handle. That's the one concern. Mm-hmm. Look, three deep at the personalities. Jarvis Landry, Odell, huge personalities. Antonio Callaway, off the field issues all throughout his career in college. You go and you go sign Duke Johnson, he didn't sign, but they a disgruntled running back because they went and signed Kareem Hunt, who has a huge off the field issues. You add that to, you know, some big personalities in that locker room. We'll see how this plays out. I just want to see it gel and work, and want them to see wins before I'll give them the credit. And look, they deserve it. They've been trashed for two decades straight, so. And look, I have no hatred. I like Baker. I think he's a good quarterback. I just want to see it happen.
I think if there's a team to bank on, it's definitely the Browns.
Well, how far do you think they can go?
I think they can win the Super Bowl.
You think they can go all the way? You think would be their? Because look, it's gonna be
it's them, the Colts, and the Chiefs. I don't believe the Patriots are gonna get there this year.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I think those are the three teams that you look at as far as teams that are going to contend this year. And then you can maybe throw the AFC West. You can maybe throw the Chargers in there too. But I think the Patriots just are not how many years can they keep pulling the rabbit out of their hat? At some point Tom Brady is going to break down. The dude's 42 years old. Like You can. I don't care how great you take care of your body. Father Time always wins. I don't believe he can do it. So, for me, as great as a quarterback he's been in his career and is probably the best quarterback of all time, I think this is probably his last year of being decent.
Now moving on to fantasy, you know, Baker's probably a top 4 or 5 quarterback going into fantasy right now.
Yep.
It probably helps that he has Odell and things like that. You know, Odell's top as a tier one receiver. Baker, I would put him as a top of the tier two.
Yeah.
I think the tier ones are basically right now. No, I'll put him second in tier two because I think Aaron Rodgers at this point is a tier two because you don't know what exactly you're getting. He has a high potential, but he also has the potential of looking like last year.
So is your tier one?
Patrick Mahomes and Andrew Luck are my tier ones.
Okay.
My tier twos are a little wide because, look, I think Carson Wentz is a tier two if he's healthy. I think he could be a tier one, but I'm putting tier two because of the health. Tier twos have more they have more chance of busting. Baker's there just because I want to see him prove it a little more. I think he can move. I'm not saying he's going to be a top quarterback, but you know, he's going into the second season.
Yeah.
But yeah, this defense is draftable. I'm a little concerned on the pass rushing end. Outside of Myles Garrett, you know, they have a lot of defensive tackles. That's a lot. They have three deep. So, and I'm not sure who's playing the other DN at this point. Nick Chubb is my fantasy love. I think he's being extremely undervalued because of Kareem Hunt. I can't see why they can't play both. I would like to see who gets goal line carries. Who's better to you? Off the field, completely gone. Nick Chubb or Kareem Hunt?
I'd probably take Kareem Hunt just by a tad bit.
Just a tad bit?
Just a tad bit.
Yeah.
Just because I've seen him do it more.
More longer? Well, by the time he plays this season, it'll be the exact same as Nick Chubb.
If Nick Chubb's able to do what he did last year for the first, how many games is Kareem Hunt missing? Six? Four?
Is it 10 or 8? I don't remember. Something like that. Six. Might be six.
Six or whatever it is. If he's able to be the Nick Chubb from last season for six games, then now you can make that argument. But if he struggles for whatever reason, then it's gonna be tough to not give Kareem Hunt looks.
Nick Chubb, I have him as a back end first to early second.
I would agree with that.
Just because if Kareem Hunt wasn't there, I think he'd be a top five back.
I'll put it to you this way: if I have one of the last couple picks in fantasy, I'm gonna take Chubb and then double down with either another receiver.
Do you handicap Hunt? I don't. I don't believe handicaps.
Are handcuffs?
Handcuffs.
I would try to probably get Kareem Hunt at some point.
I
wouldn't get him early, but maybe sure. In like the 10th, 11th round if you can get him.
My only issue is, are you going to ever be able to start him, and are you ever going to be able to cut them? That's my thing.
See, but my only issue with that is
they're kind of similar players.
Yeah, I agree. And if you take Nick Chubb, say in the late first, early second, whatever you take him, and then someone later on takes Kareem Hunt as maybe one of their third, fourth running backs, and he ends up getting starts at the end of the year, then you just fucked up.
I would assume that the only way he gets starts is if Nick Chubb's injured.
But that's what I'm saying. That's the chance you take.
But it's like, is it going to be 50-50?
Would you rather make sure you have both guys? Because if we're keeping it real, after Duke Johnson, those are the two guys. Would you rather have both those guys for sure and then get another running back or two and have four as opposed to five running backs, but for sure have the position held at one with your double down? Or would you either take that fifth running back and avoid Kareem Hunt?
It's just a lot to hold on to, especially since he's suspended.
I'm going to say, like in my dad's league, which I hope at some point we're going to be able to convert to it, and I'm sick of the fucking supplemental drafts. But if we do the supplemental drafts, it's so hard to not take a guy if you're taking Chubb to not take a Hunt. Because if the waiver wire comes around and he's struggling or Kareem Hunt's there, someone's going to take him up and then you're screwed. You can't pick him up waiver wire.
In most leagues, which is 99%, besides this one league who locks you in.
And I hate it.
There's no waivers.
But it's where I win my most money, so I'm going to stay fucking playing it. But you just got to have really good luck and not, you know, and get the right handcuffs or else you're fucked.
Moving to the Steelers. I think James Conner, same boat. I think he is back end first, early second, around there. I have no problem drafting James Conner.
I would draft him as my second running back. I would not draft him as my first. I would draft him as my second.
So if you would, okay, Todd Gurley or James Conner?
Todd Gurley. 100%.
Really?
Todd Gurley, 100%.
You're that fearful James Conner is going
to
impress.
I just need to see him be successful in an offense that isn't dynamic. Like, Antonio Brown and Juju Smith were able to spread the field so much that with the offensive line, he was able to have more. They're gonna pound the box a lot more. They're going to be a lot more crowded boxes
I don't think
this
so.
Year.
I personally don't believe that because there's still weapons. Juju and Vance McDonald are still going
to
keep it open.
I would be absolutely surprised if teams aren't begging the Steelers to beat them through the air to start the year. I'll be 100% surprised.
I'm not saying that they're going to beat them, but this team has too many weapons for them to not. Like, they're still going to have to double Juju at this point.
They have weapons as far as maybe, you know, name recognition, but do we trust Moncrief?
This is
trust Washington? Do we trust Eli Rogers?
This is where I'll say, I think Vance McDonald, top five tight end at the end of the season.
Like I said, if Big Ben's, I'll put it to you this way, and I will eat my words if I'm wrong. If Big Ben is able to be successful with this offense, he's a top five quarterback of all time.
Tom Brady has a worse core than he does.
This is 100% going to be no. Tom Brady has better receivers than after Juju than
Bruce McCall has.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
They have full. I think they look. They have a better tight end. I need
to look at the Patriots roster.
Outside of Harry, N'Keal Harry, they don't have anyone at the receiving.
N'Keal Harry, Julian Edelman.
I said outside of N'Keal Harry, you're saying outside of the top receiver.
But that's already more receivers after Juju than the freaking Witch McCullers have. That after Julian and Juju.
Well, I still think James Washington produces, and they still have Dante Johnson.
They better hope he produces.
Vance McDonald to me is going to be a top five tight end at the end of the season.
If Vance McDonald is going to have to be huge
for this. He was huge last year.
Okay, and he's going to have to do it again for this team to be successful. And without Antonio Brown. So let's see.
I mean, that doesn't change anything for Vance McDonald.
How many teams are you... say if this was the Browns, and they had lost their best receiver. Are you still... No matter what their quarterback looks like, are you still going to have confidence in them? Or is it because it's the Steelers? Like, that's what I got to know.
I'm not
because
a Steelers fan.
I'm
a believer that Juju shows up and he ends up being
people are looking at the Steelers and saying, oh, the Steelers are the Steelers. I think this is the year they take a step back.
I think Juju steps up and is
a
top.
If it wasn't for the Bengals, I think they could easily be the worst team in this division.
I think Juju ends up a top 10, top 15 receiver at the end of the season.
To me, I got to see it. If I can get Juju as a good value,
now,
I'll
take
him.
If you're asking me who else is getting those receptions, we'll see. Because Dante Johnson and James Watt, it's going to be a battle between those two.
I just think you can't have one great receiver and a bunch of meh receivers or see what happens receivers and be successful. I just got to see more. That's all I'm doing.
At the end of the day, I think they have good enough to where James Conner will still produce. I think James Conner produces regardless. He has a great offensive line. They have a good receiver. Have a good tight end.
I hope he does.
It would be different if you said let's put James Conner behind the Giants offense, mm-hmm. who they basically just have the running back.
You want to say Tom Brady doesn't have weapons, right? We gotta wait and see how he comes out.
I'm saying outside Julian Edelman and N'Keal Harry,
Dontrell Inman, Philip Dorsett, Josh Gordon.
Those are all Josh Gordon suspended. Phil Dusset is a bust. Inman tore his ACL. He's coming back.
I like all those guys more than I love James Washington.
Oh, no. I would take Dante Johnson and James Washington over those guys. Now, Josh Gordon, healthy, sure.
You're crazy.
If he's not suspended, then sure. But he's suspended. We don't know if he's playing.
I mean, Josh Gordon, that's fine. But Dontrell Inman, are you sure?
What has he produced in this
Philip Dorsett,
life? Where was Dante Inman previously?
With the Chargers.
And
he was successful.
He wasn't. He hasn't had any production. He has probably a couple hundred yards, maybe 500 yards.
You're serious?
Yeah. Find him. He's an older receiver too. So it's not like I think you have more hope that they're trash than that they are.
No.
I think this team is. This team will produce in some one of these receivers. If it's Dante Johnson or James Washington, will come out producing because they have no choice but to produce.
Okay, they have no choice but to produce. On one hand, I'm gonna wait for them to produce. I'm probably not gonna touch anyone other than Schuster at a decent value.
No, Schuster's getting overdrafted.
That's what I'm saying. If
you
want
to, I'm fine with dropping Juju because I think he is getting overdrafted. I'm not sure how he produces with being double teamed.
I would take AJ Green over him.
Yeah, I think AJ Green's being. I think he's going to third round.
I would take him.
Okay, James.
I don't want to go off on a list, but there's a few guys I would take over Schuster. Like I just until I see how he's able to be successful mm-hmm. in an offense where he's the guy.
I'm pulling up the ADP right now so I can give you. I want to take your take here.
Okay.
So James Conner is. Right now, going the eighth quarter.
He's going ahead.
He's the tenth pick.
He's going ahead of Joe Mixon, Nick Chubb, Todd Gurley, and Dalvin Cook.
I think I would only take Joe Mixon.
I would take Nick Chubb over him. I would take Todd Gurley over him. I love Nick Chubb,
but there's no question mark who's their starter is James Conner. With Nick Chubb, there's just too many players that we don't know. Deeper in the season.
Other than Kareem Hunt, I don't think there's any threat to him.
Well, no, Kareem Hunt's a huge threat. I mean...
No, I said other than Kareem Hunt.
Yeah, but after week six, that's a huge...
But if he's successful, I don't think you're going to be able to take his carries away.
Oh, they're going to try to keep him fresh. I think so. As long as both of them are producing, it doesn't matter.
But that's what I'm saying. If he's producing, I think he can more than produce with Kareem Hunt, and I still would think that's better than James Conner.
No, I think James Conner would produce more. I'm too fearful of Todd Gurley. I would have to take him maybe in the end of the second, third, in my opinion. Joe Mixon, I think Joe Mixon is the better value there.
I've already told you.
Dalvin Cook's a better option than
Dalvin Cook? Than James 100%. He's a bell cow in Minnesota.
So
100%.
If I pull up,
I want to see what his numbers were in the one game where Antonio Brown was not playing. That's what I want to see.
James Conner ended up with the year with almost 1,000 yards. He's a little low.
And that's what I'm saying. Almost 1,000 yards with that offense last year. He's going to go probably closer to 700-800 without Antonio Brown.
I think he ends up around this or 1,000. He had 12 touchdowns, which it's going to be interesting to see.
That's where he was his most successful was with touchdowns.
So I think the yards stay the same or go up, but I see the touchdowns coming down. And I still think he gets over 1,000 and he gets about 8 touchdowns.
If he's not at 12 to 1,300 yards, I don't know that I would want to have him as my number one guy. And I think...
There's going to hardly be anybody.
I think Gurley, Cook,
Gurley's not
and
go
Chubb
over
are all going over 1,000.
I think Gurley...
All going over 1,000.
Gurley is the big... his touchdown ratio is going to go... I think he had like 18 touchdowns last season.
I don't care about the arthritis in the knee. I will still take Todd Gurley over.
Why don't you take him the first round then?
If I can double down and get another guy after him, I probably will.
If you have 100%. Okay, so on that subject, who would you take over Melvin Gordon?
Over Melvin Gordon. Wait.
Sorry, not Melvin Gordon. Gurley, Todd Gurley. Who would you take over Todd Gurley?
I would take.
Because if you go off of last year's production, he's the number one running back.
If
you don't care about his arthritis.
After probably Le'Veon Bell is where I put Todd Gurley. And I would honestly put, after the first four, I'd put David Johnson, Melvin Gordon, Le'Veon Bell, and Todd Gurley all on that too.
Okay, so my question is, if you don't care about the arthritis, then why isn't he not your top back?
What do you mean?
The big issue with me is his arthritis. That's why he's not a first-round back for me.
I think the arthritis... Okay, you're correct. The arthritis is why I don't have him as a number one, like in that 4 or 5 range. But he's still, with his arthritis, better than James Conner, better than Joe Mixon, probably better than Nick Chubb. Like, I still don't think he takes that... He takes a step back, but he doesn't take... such a big step back.
Look, if I'm looking at what he's performed with arthritis or knownly with arthritis, is the playoffs, and he did not play good in the playoffs, and that's where I'm valuing him at.
But I'm gonna take,
because to me, he's gonna have games where he's gonna blow up and have a huge game, and then he's gonna disappear, and they might limit his carries. Look, they should limit his carries. They give him a big contract. To be honest with you, he should take the year off, go to Europe, and get stem cells in his knee and see if that helps with arthritis. But he's not going to. He's going to play, and I think it's going to kill his career. Unfortunately, the Rams are going to run him until he's dead or his legs fall off.
You're a Niners fan. You're hating so hard right now.
No, I'm serious. This has nothing to do with my team. This has more to do with arthritis. Do you understand that?
Arthritis is, but these are professional athletes. I think he has found a way, since it came up literally right before the playoffs started, he didn't have much time, a whole offseason to figure out how to function with it. I believe that he will end up being
fine. So you're telling me when he can make a cut, he'll be able to do an instant cut and go?
100%.
We'll see. I can't buy it. That, based off of what we've known with arthritis.
So the same way you're not buying Todd Gurley is the same reason I'm not buying the Steelers offense. It's both the same thing.
I mean, one doesn't have arthritis.
The arthritis in this situation is not having Antonio Brown. That's huge for me. Not having your biggest weapon last year... I gotta see someone come out of it.
I'll let you, because I'm questioning the Browns to, I want to see them win before, I'll give you that. If they come out the first couple weeks.
If the Steelers come out in the first 3 or 4 weeks and they look great, then I'll take back a lot of what I said. But if they come out, look flat, and end up starting the season 500 or worse, then that's about what I was saying.
If they're 500, not gonna, that's fine. I was thinking if they're two
wins.
Have
you not seen how their season starts? They should start 3-1 or 4-0.
Yeah, but every team
starts.
Can potentially.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, based off their schedule, if they don't start 3-1 or 4-0, they got some problems. That's what I'm saying. If we're being honest.
Well, I mean, the Bucks beat the Saints week one, so it doesn't... And the Saints still were one of the better teams in the league.
That's what I'm saying.
My point.
If the Cowboys were to lose to a team that they shouldn't lose to, you'd be giving them shit and saying they suck.
Yeah, but the Saints came out... So don't tell
me that the Steelers doing the same thing isn't the same. But
this is the same thing. It's biased when you want it to be.
How is it being biased, Mike?
Because it's the same thing. The Saints played terrible week one. They almost lost week two.
Other than they play the Patriots week one, the Steelers do.
So that could be a loss.
That's probably a loss. But after that, I gotta find.
But luckily, we're talking about fantasy, where it doesn't matter if they win or lose.
I know we're talking about fantasy, but I'm just talking about in general with that offense being able to flow as a good offense. If their offense isn't flowing, it's gonna be tough for other guys to produce.
What we know is we'll move on to the Ravens here. Lamar Jackson, you know, with his running ability, he's still a top 10. You know, he'll probably end up being, if he's healthy and he's a top 10, you know, quarterback just because of those running abilities. It's huge with fantasy quarterbacks. So I would assume that he ends up being a top 10 quarterback at the end of the season. I probably wouldn't take anyone outside of Mark Ingram in this offense. Maybe Mark Andrews. That's about it.
I still think Willie's needs really... Okay.
Is he a fantasy starter though, or a fantasy?
I think he's a flex player.
My only concern is I can see Willie Snead playing, you know, getting 70 yards 1 week, and then the next week he just falls apart. They just don't perform because they're just running the ball too damn much.
You could draft the four best receivers in fantasy and get inconsistency. In my opinion,
sure, but when you're
so week to week,
but when you're in a running team, especially one like this. It's harder to... I would rather bet on a different receiver than him if I had to keep one on my roster.
Okay.
I kind of want to know where he's going now.
Who?
Willie Snead.
I'm sure he's not going high, but...
Yeah, I wonder if he's undrafted.
Would
you take Marquise Brown over Willie Snead?
I don't know that I would. Not right away.
I think at the beginning of the season, I'd probably take Willie Snead.
That's
over,
what I'm saying. But so, after that, so I would put Willie Snead where I put where Marquise Brown is right there in my eyes, and that's
Willie Snead's not in the top.
But then that's about accurate. If you put him where Marquise Brown is, that's about where
Willie
Snead
is not in the top. So I think he's not draftable, is what they're saying.
I think he is.
Would you take Willie Snead over Golden Tate?
It'd be a toss up for me.
To me, I would take Golden Tate, but that's not by much.
I gotta see what...
Because somebody's
got... I am huge on seeing how guys produce in new offenses before I trust them.
MVS.
I would 100% take him over both of them.
I'll take
because
MVS.
Because he's been on that team for 2-3 years. I know what he's... He has Aaron Rodgers as his quarterback. Yeah. I know what he's going to be.
Corey Davis. He's Corey the number Davis, one receiver at the time.
I would probably take him over both of them.
I'll take Corey Davis. Yeah. DK Metcalf.
I don't think I would take him over.
I think just because of the potential. Look, I'm looking at high volume, high potential on my bench because these are bench players we're talking about. I'll take DK Metcalf because he can get that deep threat if he could somehow run a damn route outside a deep.
But slant. That's what I'm saying. I gotta see
but,
it.
N'Keal Harry, that's easy for me.
I would take N'Keal Harry.
How about Anthony Miller from the Bears?
I would take him over both of them. Because he's been on, because like I said, like give me three guys other than DK.
Well, rookies
Metcalf.
Are more of a are not, toss up. Not, maybe not rookies, I'm just saying rookies are a toss up.
Give me. There's got to be at least three guys.
But what we're gonna go off of with rookies is basically preseason at this point, and if they're the starter.
But what I'm saying is guys like DeSean Jackson. I don't know where I would take him because I got to see him in the Eagles' offense again.
One last one, Deebo Samuel.
I don't know that he's draftable.
Deebo Samuel,
100%.
I think if he ends up being the starter at. Outside of with it'll be Pettis, Trent Taylor, and Deebo Samuel at the receiver position, then I would probably say he's probably one of your last picks.
Maybe.
But it's hard with rookies because you just don't know. With that, we'll move on. Is there anybody else in the Ravens that you would say? Yeah, the Ravens defense is draftable.
Ravens defense is draftable. I still think Ingram.
Ingram.
Their tight end, Mark Andrews.
That's about it.
And I still think I would take Willie Snead as one of my last few picks as a value receiver.
Maybe Mark Andrews, he's one of the last tight ends that you're able to draft in the 14th round. So, would you take Mark Andrews over Jimmy Graham?
I would not.
I would take Mark Andrews. I think, look, Jimmy Graham doesn't get any production. Doesn't get as high production as he should.
I'm thinking that the Packers are going to integrate Jimmy Graham more into that offense this year.
I think Mark Andrews, being with a younger quarterback who doesn't really throw very well deep down the field accurately, I think that's where he gets his production. Okay. How about Mark Andrews or Kyle Rudolph? Because right now, ADP is saying Mark Andrews is going higher.
I would take Kyle Rudolph over Mark Andrews.
Jordan Reed, who can't stay healthy.
Yep. Mark Andrews is the guy that should be last on that list. I gotta see Lamar Jackson throw the ball to the guys that actually can catch the ball and do well, like Willie Snead and Marquise Brown, before I trust Mark Andrews, who's probably the third tight end behind two other guys.
So Mark Ingram, where is he being drafted? He's being drafted in the fourth round as a 22nd running back.
That's an absolute goddamn steal.
Yeah, I'm interested to see.
I would put him right behind Leonard Fournette and Derrick Henry in that range, ahead of Marlon Mack.
Yeah, I would draft Mark Ingram ahead of Leonard Fournette, but maybe I would take Devontae Freeman over him though.
That'd be close for me.
And I know you don't like Aaron Jones, but I would. They're probably right there. I think they're 1A, like right next to each other.
I think Aaron Jones shouldn't be ahead of three of those four guys that are in front of him.
Josh Jacobs or Mark Ingram.
I don't think he should be ahead of Philip Lindsay.
Philip Lindsay has a wrist issue, but he's 100%. Philip Lindsay's he has new offensive coordinator and or new head coach too, and they're trying to see who. I think their carries get split between Royce Freeman and Philip Lindsay. Chris Carson or Mark Ingram.
Oh, Mark Ingram, without a doubt.
Yeah, if Chris Carson carries the ball, I mean, he had like 1,300 yards.
If the Seahawks actually trusted one guy to run the ball for the most part,
had 1,300 yards.
If there's a game and there's 40 carries between the backs and he gets 30 of those 40 carries, then sure. But if he's getting 15, 20 carries, I don't know that he's going to be successful with 15, 20 carries every game, and that scares me.
So lastly, we're going with the Bengals. Joe Mixon, AJ Green, Tyler Boyd are all, you know, good.
And Uzuma. Potential.
Maybe. Uzuma. If he's healthy. I think. But Joe Mixon, he is going.
I think he's going
about 12th.
I would put him ahead of James Conner and Le'Veon Bell. I'd put him right at 7 behind Melvin Gordon, David Johnson, McCaffrey.
Yeah, I feel like where he's going, he's going to end up being a steal for somebody. I think he went around this last year as well.
He goes in that. Where it has him going on this average draft value,
ADP,
you could easily get two top running backs.
I mean, look,
that's insane.
If you end up drafting 7, 8, or 9, there is value there. There's you know,
if you're able to pair him with one of Saquon or Zeke, you're living pretty fucking nice.
Yeah, but he's not going to be there.
I don't think so.
He's not
going
to be
there. But based off,
he's going too early by then.
Based off the fact that he's the 9th best running back, and that there's going to be like probably at least 4 or 5 people that are going to take receivers that are top receivers, and then a couple guys that are probably going to reach on a quarterback, that's 16 picks. There's a chance if you're at the 3rd, 4th pick, you can get a McCaffrey and Mixon.
So combo. With this, we'll end the pod. We'll go into individual ADP and rankings. We'll provide you with our quarterback, running back, tight end, wide receiver rankings, and the defensive rankings. We'll go into that for each pod now. Kind of break that down for you. So keep listening to us. You can follow us at
Amateur Fan Pod on Twitter, and
Amateur Fanboy Podcast on any podcast that you love. Yep. Facebook, YouTube. Keep listening to us. We are trying to continue provide you the best content that you can listen to.
Yep, and you can keep agreeing or disagreeing with us however you feel. That's what you want podcasts to be.
Now, one last question. Your value pick out of this division.
What do you mean?
Who are you targeting?
Player wise?
Yeah.
Probably AJ Green, because he seems to be getting way undervalued. I still think he's a number one receiver fantasy wise. Mm-hmm. So I would take, if you can get him in the third, fourth round, you're
going,
stealing him.
He's going 3-7.
The fact that he's
going 307. The fact he's 11th receiver.
The fact that Mike Evans is going ahead of him is
Well, look, it's crazy, Adam Thielen and Tim Adams are still there.
And I would argue that you should switch him and Schuster. I think he's a top five, top six receiver. I got to see Schuster do it before I trust him. I just got to.
Yeah, he's been a little high
that,
for
I'm
me.
On, I'm on that train. I'm sorry. And if you disagree with me, that's fine. But I just got to see him be super successful without Antonio Brown before I say he's a stud.
Well, that will end the podcast. Have a great day. Enjoy your mustaches.
Enjoy your mustaches.